In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come into our world so that He might purchase us. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as I was surfing around through social media last week, I stumbled across something that one of our members had put up on her wall. It was Sarah. She couldn't be here today, she put up this thing about how much are the toys and the things from your childhood worth now that you are no longer a child or that you're a little bit older. So I looked at this list, and you know, there were all sorts of things that were worth all sorts of different amounts of money. But the thing that caught my attention about her post was that she had said, "A can of Surge?" ! And I was like, "A can of Surge? How much is a can of Surge worth?" And if you don't remember Surge, that's probably a good thing. Surge was Coca-Cola's attempt to horn in on the Mountain Dew market, and so what they did was they came up from 96 to 2003. So you see how well it worked. Probably about as well as Crystal Pepsi. Good memory. And they had this thing, and it was basically Mountain Dew. It was a little bit greener than what Mountain Dew was. And they had produced this stuff so that it would be something that could compete in that market. And my brother and I have always been kind of, a little bit, we look for stuff like that. And so we purchased a can of Surge, and we decided that what we were going to do was we were going to keep this first edition can of Surge from 1996. And we had this thing in our room at my parents' house forever. And so it was there on a bookshelf with a bunch of Pez dispensers and different stuff like that we had invested in. And then my parents moved. And we were kind of going through stuff. And as you move, you all know this, you go through stuff and you go, well, this is probably worth something. And this is just a, you know, nasty can of Surge that is disgusting by now if it wasn't when it was produced. And so we threw it away. And so I was like, can of Surge, I know that just resonated with me. And the can of Surge was worth $89. Yeah. So now you can all go back and look in nooks and crannies in your house to see if you have cans of Surge, because you can sell them on eBay for cash money. And I thought, what a worthless thing to have be worth almost $100. Like this can of soda that just really wasn't very good. And I thought, wow, that's actually kind of a picture of the gospel. And that's a picture of what happens with us. That's what it means for us to be Christians, is that we have been bought with a price that is way above the price that we're actually worth. And so Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, this is how much we are worth. We are worth the blood spilt of the God of the universe. And that's really kind of what, we'll get to this, but that's really what the Apostles' Creed is all about, is kind of how much we're worth. And if you start thinking about the Apostles' Creed as being how much we're worth, then it brings a whole lot more meaning to the table when we say that together as a church. When we say, this is what we believe, and what we're saying about what we believe is how much we are worth to God. And when we were talking about that, we also have to kind of talk about what Paul is saying here in Romans 6. And Paul says some stuff that, well, honestly, we probably don't like too much. Because Paul, here in Romans 6, says that you're a slave. Now, not many of us want to be slaves in this room. I doubt that that is anything that anybody is like, oh yeah, I'd love to be a slave. In fact, we'd all probably rather be masters. I remember when I was a kid, and when somebody wrote me a birthday card or something, and on the front of the birthday card, the address, they wrote, Master J. Winters. And I thought, oh yeah! Is this because I'm turning 8? And so soon I found out that master is what they call you before they call you mister. Which, as a kid, I was like, why would I ever want to trade that A for that stupid I and just be a mister? I'm a master. Which was also helped by I was playing with He-Man and Masters of the Universe toys, which are probably also worth a whole lot on eBay right now. And I thought, oh, master, that's what I want to be. And that's what we all want to be at some level, don't we? We want to master our bodies. We want to master our minds. We want to master our relationships. We want to master sometimes our employees, and we would love to master our bosses, and we want to be this sort of master figure. We would rather not be a slave, because those things, that just doesn't have the same ring to it, does it? Like enslaving your body, probably not something that you want to do. Enslaving your mind, something that you probably don't want to do. And enslaving your boss, that might be something that you do actually want to do. But the rest of them, you don't really want to think of yourself as a slave. And so when Paul says that you're a slave, we have to figure out, what do you mean by that, Paul? Because Paul, in other places in Scripture, has definitely said that you are more than a slave, that you are a son, that you are a daughter, that you have been given freedom. But here he's honing in on what it means to be a slave. And what it means to be a slave, in part, is to be purchased. I mean, that's what it is to be a slave. You're not really a slave if nobody has purchased you. So if you are going to be up on the slave master's block, and you're up there for bid, and nobody puts a bid on you, you're actually not a slave, right? And for most of us, we'd say, well, that's probably a good thing. I'm glad nobody bid on me. I made sure that I was extra ugly that day, so nobody would bid on me. Instead, they got that other schlub. But I think this kind of hits home for us, especially in terms of our workplaces, and when we're looking for work, and when we're looking for what people want of us, we kind of do put ourselves out there, and we ask people to essentially tell us that we're worth something. And so we say, hey, I have this degree from Florida State University or Florida A&M or TCC or wherever, and I would like you to show me that is worth your money by giving me a job. And that gives us this sort of sense of worth. Because somebody has, in essence, purchased us. Maybe not completely, but they've purchased a certain amount of our lives that we then function as servants, in a way. And when that doesn't happen, we feel worthless. If we put ourselves out there and we say, hey, I have all of these skills, would you hire me? And they say, no. Then we begin to feel worthless. This happens in our relationships too. When we head out there and we say, "Hey, I feel like I'm worth this. Would you love me? Would you care for me? Would you just hang out with me for a little while?" And nobody does that, then we begin to feel like we are worthless. Because nobody has given us that worth. Nobody has said, "You are worth my time, that you are worth my care, that you are worth my goodness shown to you." And so we feel worthless. And in other places in the gospel, Jesus encourages his disciples to say that we are like worthless slaves, which is sort of where we are before Jesus comes. Because before Jesus comes, nobody really wants to purchase us completely. Sure, people might buy a little bit of our time here and there, and we might kind of see them as our master or see other even things as our master. And so maybe that's for you, maybe that's TV, maybe that's food, maybe that is a relationship, maybe that's something else, maybe whatever it is, that things are kind of vying for your attention, but they don't want to purchase you completely. They don't want to spend the worth that it would take to buy you in entirety. But Jesus comes in and he says, "Look, you are worth much more to me than what anybody else is ever going to purchase. Here's how much you are worth to me. As a slave, as somebody who would be purchased, you are worth this much to God. You are worth God the Father Almighty, the Creator of all that is seen and unseen, stopping what He was doing to create you. And not only to create you, but to create an entire universe for you to exist in. You're worth that much. You are worth Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, coming to this world and living as one of us and then dying on a cross and raising again from the tomb and agreeing to be our Lord. The one who bought us, purchased us. You are worth the Holy Spirit, this part of God that creates the church around you and gives you this rich experience of what life is beyond just an ordinary life that would be outside of God. You are worth Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is your purchase price. That is how much you are worth to God. That He created you, that He created everything around you, everyone around you, that He redeemed you, that He redeemed those who are around you, that He wants to be with you so badly that He died on a cross, and that He sent you His Holy Spirit so that this wasn't just a one-time purchase, but that this is a continuing, repetitive purchasing of who you are. This entire year we're focusing on this "I love you" thing and how much God loves you. And how much we are called to love His church and how much we're called to love His world. And if we understand this creed as a statement of worth for us individually, and then for us as a church, and then for us as an entire world, a humanity together, and a creation together, we begin to see something amazing. And that amazing thing is how much we're worth to God. and how much He paid so that He could have us with Him in a resurrection forever. You're worth that much to God. Amen.